The feeling was I have an abundance of everything that I need within me. And once I realized that, there was no more dependency on anything outside of me. So there wasn't anything to take away from my abundance, right?
Welcome to The Whole View. I'm Stacey Toth of Real Everything, and I'm here each week to dive deeper into how we can find happiness and health inside and out through self-love, body positivity, and discovering new ways to be our best selves. Before we get started, a reminder, this podcast is for general educational purposes and is not intended to diagnose, advise, or treat any physical or mental illness. Always recommend that you see a licensed health professional accordingly. I am excited to introduce you today to Janine, who is a doctor of Ayurveda with a specialty in Ayurvedic psychotherapy and psychiatry, which is very interesting to me, and I'm excited to talk about it. And from a trauma-informed care, I don't know if you know this, Janine. Hello, welcome to the podcast. I am a foster mom, and so I work with children who have had a lot of trauma. So it is a topic that we discuss often as the impacts to our health. So I'm sure we can explore some of that today and how it shows up in our bodies. But from your perspective, you're also certified in several different Ayurvedic wellness practices, clinical acupuncture, trained in Reiki, certified push therapist. I don't even know what that is. California State certified massage therapist and author of the best-selling book, Abundance Beyond Trauma. And Janine's work focuses on a heart and mind integration, or what I call connecting our body with our brain, given her work specializing in how our mind can have a profound effect on our quality of life, physicality, and emotionally. I want to use this time to talk about personal topic that's coming up in my life right now, listeners. Shocker. I love to be selfish on the show. So we're going to talk about abundance mindset and how we can both accept bad things when they're happening or when we're triggered, but also to open our mind to the idea that there is abundance still in front of us. So Janine, welcome to the show. I'm so excited that you're here.
Thank you, Stacey. It's an honor to be here.
If you could maybe tell our listeners a fun fact about yourself and anything I left out, just so that they can get to know you a little more.
Okay. Fun fact would be I am completely obsessed with gnomes and fairy tale creatures. This is something that came from my grandmother, who was an amazing storyteller. So myself and the brother that's right underneath me, 2 years younger, we both have taken on that same tradition where we have gnomes in our home. We create stories with them. So as a grandmother of five, this is something that I really value, is the storytelling aspect.
I love that. Did you just say you're a grandmother of five?
I am.
We need to talk later about what's happening in your life to keep you rejuvenated. And I'm hoping that it's some of the stress reduction that you're going to teach us here.
Absolutely.
So for those of you listening, obviously, you would not be able to look at Janine and know she's a grandmother, I'll say. Not that there's anything wrong with enjoying aging. It is, I always say it is a privilege to be able to age. Just making a joke. All right. So the title of your book, Abundance Beyond Trauma, inspired me to think about how the idea of abundance as a mindset is one that is very hard when we have fear, which is often rooted in trauma, right? Like it's either you're coming from this idea of what could be in a worst case scenario or a best case scenario, right? And it's hard to lean into that best case or that abundance. Can you share more about why you chose that word abundance in relation to the work that you're doing?
Yes. So being that you are also a trauma survivor, and for those that are listening, we already know about scarcity. Scarcity within our own mind, because something was taken from us as a result of the trauma, and as well as our own self-esteem, that's usually reduced greatly, among other things. So for me, it was really important that there was a title that said it all, that drew people in, to help people understand that even though there have been traumatic experiences, one of the most powerful tools we have is our mind. And if we can learn to harness the power of our mind, we will actually tap into that abundance, because it's how we're relating with whatever has happened with us. So if I'm continually identified with my trauma, meaning it has completely consumed me and I cannot get through life because of my trauma. That is a very scarce mindset. But if I'm determined to look at how has that trauma affected me and use my courage and my determination and any tools that I have to come out of that dynamic, that is abundance.
When you say courage and determination, the word that I think of is resilience. It's a word that I've been talking to my teenagers a lot about. And when they're acting like toddlers with big vocabulary is the kind of definition that I use all the time about teenagers. When they're having those moments where their feelings are bigger than they can handle. And of course, we're having the emotional validation, trying to calm the body down. But I'm also talking to them about this idea of resilience, that in those moments when things are frustrating or when you're dealing with something that is not something you want to be dealing with, or as a foster mom, I have a child who is triggered, being able to teach that moving forward is not just like brave, it's not just these things, it's also you are creating those neural pathways in your brain to tell you that you can do this, that you have done this before, that you can do it again, instead of this mindset of like, I can't do it, it's too hard. Or some of the things that I think sometimes if we learn at that young age can affect how we go forward in life. And I loved Brené Brown's definition of resilience in Atlas of the Heart. And so I actually played that section for my kids. And I love the word and the concept so much that like, absolutely, this thing that is happening sucks. Or this thing that happened previously sucks. We're not going to pretend that it didn't happen. We're not going to push it down. We're not going to ignore it. We're going to acknowledge like, absolutely, it sucked. And we don't need to be stuck in that negative place that we can not avoid. We can acknowledge. We don't have to have toxic positivity. But in order to be resilient and to persevere, to be have this determination or whatever it is that we're moving forward, we have to be able to see that hope. I'm wondering if you find that to be the case when working with clients and how you help navigate some of that.
Absolutely. Hope is one of the key factors in guiding others out of that trauma. I would call it a trauma mindset. We have to come out of the trauma mindset, that victim, perpetrator, victim mindset, in order to find that hope. Otherwise, we are stuck in that mindset and it becomes hopeless. So, three of the domains of Ayurvedic psychotherapy is, the first word is D, which means uplifting intelligence. These are Sanskrit words. Dharya, which is boosting confidence and determination. And then Atmadvijnanam, which is stimulating the consciousness or setting up for self-realization. So in essence, what that means is the whole journey, whether you identify your past experiences as trauma or not, big T, little T, however you identify it, it is all about the relationship with yourself. And the more you are aware of the things that naturally trigger you because of your past situations and your ability to catch yourself and get to know yourself, the better your whole mental state is going to be, as well as relationships with others, because you're spending the time to get to know who are you with all of these experiences.
I love that perspective and the kind of three steps. I'm wondering if you have a definition for, or how you consider this like abundance mindset, right? Like when you're striving towards that third step or hope or whatever it might be, like how would you describe or define what general population would refer to in abundance mindset?
Well, that's a good question. I'm not quite sure how the rest of society would define it. I know personally, for me, it started with a feeling. The feeling was I have an abundance of everything that I need within me. And once I realized that, there was no more dependency on anything outside of me. So there wasn't anything to take away from my abundance, right? As well as my own mindset. So if I noticed my own thoughts were saying, oh, I can't, that told me, okay, I'm not in an abundance mindset, because abundance is I can, I will find a way. And that's also hope. I know oftentimes people will refer to abundance more on a financial level, and that can also come through that way. But I will tell you, I have lived most of my life with very little income. And yet I feel that within me, there's just an abundance of feeling rich, even though my bank account may not say that, right? And also, I know some of the wealthiest people are also some of the most miserable. So that's definitely not abundance. It's definitely the feeling, and it is also a confidence. It's a knowing that you have everything that you need and you're not dependent on anything else. So nothing can come in and take from you.
I love the idea of everything that I have, I need inside of me, and it can't be taken, because I think often when we have been victimized in one way or another, and I think all of us in some sort of life, no matter who you are or where you are, you've gone through an experience where you were teased by a friend in school, taken advantage of, or you've had big T traumas where you feel like someone has taken something from you. But how it's manifested in my own life is this like perpetual need for external validation, right? Because I didn't have that thing inside of me that said, I am good enough. I'm proud of myself. That was not a skill I ever learned when I was younger, that I was constantly seeking someone else telling me I did a good job, or they were proud of me, or whatever that case may be. And so this idea of being able to say that I have what I need inside of me, also, like when you said it, I was like, that connects to that part of me that was really broken, my personal experience of feeling like I needed someone else to tell me I was good enough, rather than saying to myself, I am good enough. And if I don't feel that way right now, what can I do in my life to become the person that I want to be that feels really proud of myself?
That's beautiful. Thanks for sharing that. The adhere process that I created is set up specifically to target that sort of thing. I also found myself needing lots of external validation, which is also how I ended up in multiple dysfunctional and abusive relationships as well. Because again, if that's all, that's what you're going to attract. So with the adhere process, what happens is each individual goes in and reclaims the parts of themselves that essentially became disconnected during the traumatic event. And it keeps getting activated when we're in that trauma trigger time loop experience. So when we're triggered, that part of us that was disconnected is basically speaking, saying, hey, it's happening again. I'm having this moment and you're not acknowledging me. And because you're not acknowledging me, that's why I'm having such an intense reaction to whatever the situation is. But what's so beautiful about triggers is it's basically that part of us saying, hey, come find me. I'm trying to find my way home. I've been disconnected since this moment. And so the whole process of it here is to go in and find that deeper within our psyche, find that part of us, love that part, and really see, now, what do you need? You know what you need because you know what you didn't get. And then actually giving yourself that. And that's really the power of that heart and mind connection. And once we realize we can actually give it to ourselves, and the mind doesn't understand time necessarily. So you can go back to a moment and reclaim a part of yourself. You don't have to go back to like seeing the trauma, but you can reclaim parts of yourself. And let's say it's a six-year-old version of yourself. That potentially can actually change something in your current life, because now that six-year-old's experience is completely different and it's still part of you.
As you're talking, it brings up for me a reminder for listeners. This is a health and wellness show, and we talk a lot about impacts to physical health. And one of the things that I've been trying to work on over the last couple of years is really bridging this gap between thinking of the mind as separate from the body, right? Like this idea of emotional well-being as being separate from physical well-being. And there has been a lot of science and a lot of people that have come on the show, but I want to reiterate for those listeners who might find us today, that this is not just like woo random stuff where we're talking about like your inner child. And you might be hearing these phrases and be like, this eye roll is not health, wellness, science. And I assure you that there is incredible science to show how affected our nervous system is and how that plays a role in our body. The way that we clench when we get anxious about something, the way we have physical discomfort. If you think about yourself going in front of a crowd to publicly speak, you can have physical symptoms of that. And those symptoms manifest in our system on a broad scale through the emotions that we carry with us. And I'm wondering if maybe we can just pause for a minute and say, what are some of those emotional triggers that someone might physically feel in their body, right? Because I do think it's also hard to identify when you're being triggered and to identify when you're having that negative talk track with yourself. That self-awareness is one of the hardest things to capture. And maybe the identification of some physical symptoms is something that people can start with.
Yeah. So not only did I write Abundance Beyond Trauma, but I also created the Abundance Beyond Trauma workbook, which has worksheets in there to really hone in on the different senses that became activated as a result of the trigger so that you can really start understanding what are the physical responses that your body gives. And it will come through the five senses. So you may get triggered by either seeing something or smelling something, and you will end up possibly with a very visceral experience of feeling like you want to fight. You want to run away. You might freeze. You might become very fawn-like. And it shows up differently for every person, but usually there's an elevated heart rate. You can tell a lot about your breath. So if you start holding your breath or you're hyperventilating, that those are really good cues. When you're experiencing that intense eruptive anger, obviously something's trying to express itself. It could also come in the form of just immediately start crying and not really understanding, like, why am I having this experience? Nervousness, anxiety, all of those are just some of the many symptoms that one might experience.
It's funny you said heart rate, and we go to family therapy, and we were having a session a couple of months ago that was really intense, and my watch actually warned me. It like gave me a notification that my heart rate was too high. It was like, it doesn't seem like you're moving, but your heart rate's high. Are you okay? Kind of thing. And I was like, I literally said in the room with the therapist, I was like, I am physically triggered. I need to take a break and take some breaths before we come back and talk about this. And I wouldn't have been able to like recognize or learn that about myself, first of all, without a tool to tell me, but also without years of work of trying to become self-aware. And I find that in those moments when we are fight, flight, freeze, fawn, that's when we do and say things that we later look back and say, that wasn't me being my best self, or that wasn't how I wanted to show up in those moments. Maybe you froze or you fawned and you let someone bully you around, and later you're thinking like, why didn't I tell them blah, 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 right? Or maybe it was a kind person who was a cashier and you just like went off on them because you were really upset about something else in your life. Right. And I think that all of this plays a role in how we carry stress, which has an effect on our physical life and our physical well-being and our life in general.
Yes, I totally agree. And in my book and for listeners, there's the I'm Triggered Pocket Guide, which you can get off of my website, which takes you through, there's 10 steps, but the first three get you out of a triggered state. So if you're noticing anything that just feels off, and you said it yourself, the first thing is the breath. Wherever the breath goes, the mind follows. So if you can get your breath under control, now, if you're triggered and somebody tells you to take a deep breath, that's the last thing you want to hear. It'll probably trigger you more. But if you can catch your breath, and I usually suggest two quick inhales and a long exhale until the breath can calm down enough. And you'll notice if you just focus on that alone and make sure you don't make any life-changing decisions in that triggered state, you will quickly come out of it. And then also recognizing who are your well-wishers, the people you trust or look up to, that will create a sense of calm within your heart and mind and body just by thinking about them.
And the website, we'll put a link in the show notes, but for that free pocket guide, it's goodbyetension.com/abundance-beyond-trauma. And again, we'll put a link in the show notes for everybody, but thank you for sharing that free tool with everyone. What do you think staying in a cycle can do to the body, right? You have other practices where you work with patients who have been dealing with this for a while. So what do you see in people's physical manifestations of carrying this?
So from the science of Ayurveda, what I've learned is that at least 90% of disease begins in the mind, which is why I was so drawn to it, because I'm all about getting to the core of the problem. So if the core of the problem originates in our mind, that's the key to everything. Now, there are other things like many people have anxiety, but anxiety also is something that is originating in the mind. It's a belief of something will happen, but hasn't happened yet. That's the anxiousness. Whereas if it's more on the depressive side, it's more of ruminating about past experiences. And you can't change past. You also can't really predict future. So being able to come to a place of presence is really where we want our mind to be. But as I said earlier, 90% of disease begins in the mind. So one of the worksheets that I have in my workbook is looking at what are your own cycles that you notice? And then are there any cycles or patterns of disease that you notice within the familial line? So in my familial line, a majority of women either were anxious or depressed and on some sort of SSRI. There's diabetes, there's high blood pressure, all of these things. And once I recognized that, I thought to myself, well, I don't want that to be my lot in life. So how do I start changing it? That means I have to start looking at my thoughts, my beliefs, what I tell myself, things like that. And then also creating the healthy habits. But creating those healthy habits is also determined by our mental state. If you don't feel well enough to, let's say, make yourself something that is healthier, you'd rather go out and go through the drive-through, that is based on your mental state and the ability to want to take care of yourself. It's determined by how you feel.
I think the example of that motivation for choices that logically you want to make, but you just can't find the strength for, I think is a good example of how the mind plays a significant role in the body. I think it's an interesting fact, but I don't agree that the idea of 90% of things start in the brain, because I think of a lot of people who are in situations where they have toxic exposure, right? Like they're literally living in an environment where their water's contaminated or something like that. And what I don't want people to hear from that perspective is like, if you get sick, it's your fault and it's in your mind. So I want to be very clear that like part of this is also in acknowledging that trauma is generational and that sometimes you could have been in a situation that you did not have control in, or maybe you lived in an environment that was physically or emotionally unhealthy. And where you find yourself today, the idea of like 90% being in their brain, some people might take that and say, oh, well, it's my fault. And that is not at all, I think, the message that you're trying to send, and also that we want anyone to take away, because that's the opposite of the abundance mindset, right? Like that is the opportunity to say, oh, then that means I can work on my thoughts and I can try to help myself feel better, versus I can't do anything because I've had this, you know, past that is negatively affecting me and therefore I'm stuck and this is my life. Like that's where the root of my goal with this conversation is, to talk about abundance mindset. And so I just didn't feel like we could move forward with having said that without acknowledging that there's a lot of different things that come into play that never feeling guilty or shame or any of that is going to help.
You're absolutely right. And I appreciate you pausing on that one to add clarity, because that's not at all what I'm saying. And yes, when we're in situations that are out of our control, you're born into poverty, there's no clean water, you're breathing all of the fumes from the freeway. There's many different ways that we can actually end up in the diseased state, as well as whatever our past generational trauma has traveled through the familial line. Now, from an Ayurvedic perspective, when we say the mind, we don't actually identify it in the brain. We identify it in the heart. So there's this connection where obviously the body is not, or the mind is not separate from the body, but there's also this space where consciousness is within our heart. And so the two are very much aligned together. And when we have those generational things that are coming through, obviously I can't directly change what my mother went through that I now am carrying on some level. But what I can do is I can identify that there is a tendency towards a certain type of behavior that I might be susceptible to. And if I stay aware of that, then I am less likely to repeat the pattern. And if the pattern is already showing up, then depending on one's motivation, I have the honor of working on trying to break that cycle so that my children and my grandchildren aren't experiencing it to the level of the past generation.
Today's podcast is brought to you by ButcherBox. They're offering you a special deal plus $20 off your first order. Get incredible deals on premium cuts from ButcherBox. Deals this good are hard to come by, let's be real, and honestly saves you time from going to the grocery store. So if you're looking for solutions to deliver convenience, value, and being better for you and the planet, ButcherBox delivers, literally, pun intended. It is the highest quality protein delivered right to your door in an eco-friendly box. With four teenagers, I can tell you the convenience of ButcherBox being delivered is unbeatable. It is my one-stop solution for saving time and money year-round while supporting sustainably and ethically treated animals. Humanely raised, no antibiotics or added hormones, 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork-raised, crate-free, and wild-caught seafood, which means health-promoting benefits, and I am here for it. Always ship for free, frozen, right to your door in a 100% recyclable box. They're a certified B Corp focused on quality for you, the animal, and the earth. And you can choose from a variety of box plans, including your own custom option, which is what we do. And if it's been a while since you've given ButcherBox a try, or if it's your first time, I am confident that you're going to be impressed with so many options. And this deal is too good to pass up, but you have to go to the website to find out. Sign up at butcherbox.com/wholeview and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a special deal plus $20 off your first order. Join today using my link, butcherbox.com/wholeview, and use code wholeview to receive this unique deal today. I do think that we are in a very special spot in history where, because of the internet, because of social media, one of the positive things can come from this is people learning from one another, of realizing that there is opportunity, there is hope in a situation or a scenario outside of the one that they are in that moment. And I have personally a lot of hope that with that learning that is being done, whether the children are helping the parents learn or whether they themselves break the cycle when they have children, that there is hopefully this huge jump forward in compassion and in human kindness and in self-awareness and all of the things that you were talking about, that third step, because from a community level, we're supporting and sharing and doing some of those earlier steps with one another, right? That we can proactively, like I was just having what's called an individualized education appointment for my children, have this program for special education at school. One of my children is both autistic and ADHD. And he was sitting in this room with teachers who were talking about some of the qualities that they need to support in order to get better education for him, right? But that also can sound like people talking about all the things that are wrong with you if you're hearing people talk about that. Right. And he was expressing frustration that they were saying, well, Wesley does this. And he was saying, well, that's because this and that's because this. And they were like, yeah, but, right? And they just kept saying like, and moving forward. And I had to pause everybody and say, what I'm hearing is that Wesley is asking you to acknowledge his feelings. He's asking for you to acknowledge, like, hearing what you're sharing is hard. And you recognize that you're not intentionally trying to hurt his feelings, that we're just talking about what he needs to support him. And the people in the room are like, oh, like a light bulb went off, right? And it was like I was playing this mediator type role between my child and his teachers. And I'm like, oh, gosh, it's good for him to build resilience that he's there all day without me. But at the same time, that is something that I've learned, and that is something that he is learning to both advocate for himself and to learn going forward. And I hope that he doesn't carry forward with him from that this belief that nobody validated him, nobody believed him, that he told people that they were hurting his feelings and they didn't listen to him, right? Like all these things that can sometimes build up into these, what would be defined as like a little t that becomes what feels like the world is against me, big T type trauma as we become adults.
I really love what you just shared. You know, when I work with others, I've said this before, the first thing I usually see is that childlike essence. And the beauty of not only a child, but those of us who are identified as adults, but still working on reparenting our inner child, is that we are like a treasure box. And we're discovering all these different things about us. And the more we discover, the more we can actually communicate our needs. And again, it comes back to that like relationship with self. And should you be in an interaction where somebody's not even capable of hearing it or validating it, that's also a sign that they've got their own journey with discovering what's in their treasure box. And maybe they haven't even found their treasure box yet.
Or maybe I don't want to know what's in their treasure box.
Yeah, there's that too.
Oh, I am wondering if someone is feeling like really overwhelmed in the realization that maybe they have a lot to discover and they haven't been specifically as abundantly minded, right? Like I think a lot of us don't think, oh, I have trauma or I don't have these things holding me back. But if you ask yourself, like, am I really truly thinking about what's the best case scenario that could happen? Am I really thinking about hope? Am I really thinking about what I'm grateful for and what could be? Are those kinds of thoughts the things that live rent-free in your mind? Or are the thoughts that live there more negative and anxiety-based? So if people are starting to realize, oh, maybe I do have some triggers. Maybe I do have some things that are holding me back because you know what? Nobody's perfect. No parent is perfect. My children, as hard as I try, are going to grow up and they're going to tell me all the things I did wrong. And they're going to be right because I'm not perfect. And we all have those experiences. I would love if you could maybe leave listeners with some positive and actionable steps that they can take to be of service to work on themselves. So whether it's your, I know you have programs and you have the book and different kinds of things, but if right now in this moment, they're saying like, oh, I don't even know where to start. Like, this is so overwhelming. What would you recommend that they do today?
So what I would recommend is start recognizing your thoughts by writing them down. So if your thought is, I can't fill in the blank, then write it down. I can't fill in the blank. Now, there's a couple different ways you could do this. One is to just simply now rephrase the sentence into a more positive, I can, and then fill in the blank. However, what we're also wanting to do is we're wanting to question our thoughts because our thoughts are the beliefs that we believe to be true based on those thoughts. And this is where I like to use the work of Byron Katie, where she suggests four questions. The first question, is it true? And the second one, and I believe this is more to catch that initial, whether you call it an egoic response or a defensive response, where we might say, well, yes, it's true. The second question is, how do you know for certain it's true? The third one is, how do you feel when you believe that thought? And the fourth is, who would you be without that thought? Now, all of a sudden, what happens is you become big and you're now looking at your thought. Your thought is just almost like a string that's attached, right? And you're questioning the belief of that. And once you question it, all of a sudden, it doesn't have as much power. Then you connect it to your heart. Well, how do I feel when I believe that? Now you're connecting more to your heart and to your soul. And then who would you be? You now have hope because you now can imagine who you would be without that thought. The simple I can't statement, you can question it with that system.
I think it's an interesting concept that reminds me a lot of, again, Brené Brown. I think she probably walks on water somewhere, has this idea of like, what is the story that I'm telling myself? And I use that a lot with the kids, right? Like, I hear what you're saying and your feelings about that are valid. And that is the story that you're telling yourself. that is not what has to be or what is in my version of reality. So how can we find a place with the children where I'm helping them find that string, right? To find the thought and to help them understand that it's not a fact, that it's a thought. Like, there are facts and there are thoughts and opinions, and sometimes they overlap. It's like a Venn diagram of two circles, right? Like, sometimes they're like, yeah, okay. And sometimes, for example, some people think that dinosaurs did not exist. There's the fact we have dinosaur bones, and then there's the opinion that they did not exist. There's those two don't overlap, right? But then there are some things that do. And I think that whether you're working on yourself or as a parent, helping others, grandparent, whatever it may be, I think this idea of being able to ask yourself is, I'm going to repeat it back and make sure I heard you right. Is it true? How do you know that it's true? And then what would I be without that thought? I'm missing one. Were there four?
How do you feel when you believe that thought?
There you go.
Okay. And then, yeah, who would you be without that thought?
I like it. Well, I want to thank you so much for joining us here on The Whole View. Can you remind listeners where to find you, what the name of your book is, and that free pocket guide if they want to follow up?
Yes. So the website is goodbyetension.com. The name of the book is Abundance Beyond Trauma, and it is also accompanied by the Abundance Beyond Trauma workbook. And if you go to my website and click on the Abundance Beyond Trauma link, it will take you to my website where you will enter your email address, and then I will send you your free copy of the I'm Triggered Pocket Guide. And that pocket guide will not only give you the first three steps to get you out of a triggered state, but it also shows you how to use the adhere process to dive deeper to understand what happened in that moment so that you can work on not only getting to know yourself better, but reclaiming the parts of us that are continually communicating through our triggers and basically trying to find their way home.
Great. Well, thank you so much for sharing that. And listeners, we'll put those links in the show notes for you. I will also put in the show notes the previous show that we did on Ayurveda, where we talked a lot about the science, as well as a John Hopkins article. I think that sometimes things sound woo, and even I challenged you on something, right? And it doesn't have to be 100% all the time, but I think that there's a lot that can be taken from understanding they're truly in the science. The fact is, it's not my opinion, but the fact is that our brain and our body are connected, and we do have the ability to control some of that. Some things that are happening in our body, we cannot control. I love that my body does a lot of things without me thinking. It is amazing. It is incredible. And I want to pour into it and love on it. And part of that is loving on my body with the thoughts that I'm giving it and not being in that negative space. So I thank you so much for being here and having this conversation. Listeners, I am going to share a little bit of a personal story about what motivated me to have this discussion today. So if you'd like to stay on, I will have that little chat with you before we officially close the show. But Janine, I want to thank you so much for being here today and having this conversation. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Stacey. And thank you for the challenge.
Always. Hello, listeners. If you're still here, thank you so much. I wanted to share a little bit more about my own real life events that inspired the show. About a month ago, I was told that my beloved partner and Better Beauty, my family's main income for 8 years, was shutting down for the foreseeable future, that the investment firm who had been managing the company had mismanaged the company and it had been foreclosed on by the bank. And that while the previous owner of the company had bought back the intellectual property of the formulas that are clean and safe that I love and talk about often, as well as the brand name Beauty Counter, that business could not be up and running with manufacturing products and creating a new website and doing all the things that needs to be done until Q4 of 2024. And I cannot even tell you the grief of that announcement was not unlike losing a loved one. And for those of you that have lost jobs that you absolutely love and who are responsible for the well-being of your family through the income and all of the things associated with that. Safety is something that's very important. And while money does not matter, it does provide safety. I know that what I'm talking about when I say that it was incredibly difficult. And for me, my work was part of my values. It was my belief system. It was a place for community. It was where I not only loved the people that I worked with, but I got to travel with them, explore the world. And I also felt like I was making a difference in people's lives. It was core to who I am to be part of change that I believe in. And I am incredibly proud, I'm actually getting teary-eyed, of the 14 laws that I helped pass and that you helped pass if you supported my beauty counter business or ever texted your legislators and representatives. I loved connecting with you about helping you love the skin that you're in a more body positive approach and breaking down the toxic beauty culture. It was a lot for me to lose, and I had to acknowledge that loss, and clearly by the fact that I'm still getting emotional about it. It's something I'm still working through. And I then went into a mode that I knew would help me. I tapped into my resilience, revisited my gratitude journal, which I'm really glad that I had actually started doing that not too long before this all happened. And one of the actions that I had done was write a list of 10 specific things that I was grateful for in my life to revisit every single day to remind me of the things that I really wanted to be grateful for. And I was reminded of something going back to that list of something that I'd written before all of this happened. And the words that I'd written were, I'm grateful for my intelligence, fortitude, and resilience. And it was in doing my nightly gratitude ritual that I realized that I was capable of not just surviving, but of thriving in how I handled this change. And I decided that I was going to make lemonade out of lemons. It's obviously not possible in every scenario that happens in life, but I knew that I could. And so I went about researching deep into a lot of different brands and companies, including who their CEOs were, their financial stability to avoid this ever happening again. And of course, most of all, the quality of their products. And I looked at over 100 companies. Most of them made my stomach churn with greenwashing or ethics that didn't align with my own. And then I found a diamond in the rough. I actually have been likening it to New Balance. The OG dependable dad shoe was suddenly made cool again. And here I was using my abundance mindset to find a very OG company that was stable and had a history of caring about people's well-being and the planet. And I want to help make the brand Shockley cool again. I actually had never even heard of this brand, but I guarantee you, if you ask your parent or your grandparent, they're going to tell you that they remember Shockley. In my way too deep dive on Shockley's history, I found out that not only were they the very first direct sales companies ever, but that the reason it was created that way is because Dr. Shockley, who founded it, invented the very first multivitamin. And he knew he couldn't reach a wide audience himself, but knew that it could benefit everybody. And so he wanted to create a model that would reach more people, which aligns a lot with the reason that Beauty Counter was started, to share stories to help spread the word of clean beauty, which that word did not even exist 12 years ago before Beauty Counter was founded. And now everybody's heard the term. Shockley not only clinically tests, just like Beauty Counter, they also do contamination testing, which you have heard me talk about as being incredibly important, especially in the supplement space where there are not regulations for safety to check on something before it comes to market. Just like personal care, there are constantly things being recalled that were put on the market and found to be problematic and then being recalled. And what I love about this for you and for me, if I'm being honest, is that it can just be a single place for me to get a lot of the products that I know a lot of us are using, not just vitamins, collagen, protein powders, powder teas. I'm obsessed with one of theirs, but also skincare and green cleaning products. I don't know about you, but I would much rather like buy from one place, combine it all, get free shipping, and not have to buy from a bunch of other places. And because you would be shopping through my woman-owned small business, it would be much better for people overall in the world than doing all of that from a place, say, like Amazon, where those sales are not seen or really felt from the very top of the CEO there. I find that this partnership, the more that I look into it, the more I feel confident. Absolutely, not everything on there is something that I feel comfortable about recommending. They do have a weight loss line and different kinds of products for that. I personally will not be discussing that. I'm not going to be sharing those products, and I'm not going to be doing anything about that. I can learn to not throw the baby out with the bathwater. And for me, it is also a testament to how incredible Beauty Counter was that I could trust that every single thing that the brand did aligned to the values and the standards that I held. I love also that they do have a similar subscribe and save program to Amazon, and you can actually get 15% off. And then after a subscription, it's an escalating credit back of 5, 10, or 15% based on how long your subscription is going. So you can actually get Amazon-like prices while supporting an ethical company and my woman-owned small business. They even sell commercial sizes of things just because of how beloved and effective they are. They've been around so long. A lot of people are familiar with their cleaning products. So the reason that they're used and loved so much is because they're safe for humans on the planet. And I didn't know this, but fun fact, Joel Salatin, who wrote the foreword to my second book and is a pioneer in eco-farming, bringing regenerative farming, bringing back the planet to a state where our farming practices aren't harming the earth, he actually uses their cleaning products and endorses them because they don't harm the earth or the animals. It allows the environment to stay neutral. And I was like, see, the more I find out about this company, the more I am happy I am that I decided to partner with them. And they really align to a lot of the values and the things that were so important to me. If you want to check out my favorites, if you need swaps for Beauty Counter products you can't find anymore and much more, you can check out the show notes for links to my Shackley storefront and also an article that I wrote with more information on why I made this choice, including what I don't love about the brand. Because like I said, it's not perfect. And another article on the products that I'm loving and which items they have great alternatives for in terms of swapping from what you might have been using before. I do just want to say also thank you so much to those of you who reached out with the most kind, supportive, and encouraging words. Like, it was a really dark time. You could hear the emotion in my words. And that encouragement meant a lot. This experience really did help me see how an abundance mindset can be life-changing. It is really a life-changing event for me right now. And I see that. And I thank you for helping me through this process, not just for myself, but for those others that were in a similar position to me and who are finding solace in this as well. And I could not have done that without you being part of this community and helping me find that strength that I now have in myself. It was you that helped me learn so much about myself to get here. So thank you for your trust in me in this process. I also did a Q&A as a saved highlight on Instagram. If you're wanting to know more about what happened to Beauty Counter, I went into great detail and am always fully honest and transparent. I went on to what's really to blame for this situation. And spoiler alert, it's not Craig Renfrew or anyone still associated with that brand as they rebuild, but it is important to understand. As always, I will continue to be transparent and authentic in how I show up in this space and go through this journey. And I just wanted to be open and honest and transparent because it's something that I talked about often here and it would be weird to just stop. And to just switch without that information. So again, thank you so much, listeners. And I'll be back again next week with a regular show. I hope that this conversation has been helpful for you. And I will put links in the show notes for you for all of the resources and things that we discussed today. Thank you so much, listeners. Have a great week.
We are Allie and Erica, certified integrative nutrition health coaches in gut and hormone health, and the hosts of the podcast Courageous Wellness.
We are committed to destigmatizing conversations in the wellness space and celebrate the experiences and lessons of our guests in pursuit of physical, emotional, and spiritual wellness. Listen to Courageous Wellness wherever you get your podcasts, with fresh episodes every Wednesday.